This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In this part of the program, politics. In a few minutes, we'll hear from two Pennsylvania mayors about the Democratic primary campaign in their state. First, our political observers on the week that saw an Obama speech, many Clinton schedules, and a McCain gaffe. Joining us are E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. Hello.
Hey, good to be with you.
And Matthew Continetti of The Weekly Standard. Hi, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
First item, Barack Obama was called upon to answer for the remarks of his longtime pastor. He did, but he also answered with an analysis of American race relations in a speech he gave. I'd like to hear what both of you thought of it. First, E.J.
I think it's one of the most remarkable speeches on race any politician has ever given. And I think what was striking about it is that Barack Obama, who is by parentage half black and half white, was trying to explain each side to the other. And I think it was very striking that he not only tried to explain to white people how African-Americans felt about oppression, he also was trying to explain and sympathize with whites who felt that they may have been mistreated by affirmative action or something else. And then he went on
school busing. Well, yeah.
And then he went on to say, but this is a useless argument. Now, I think politically it had a number of effects. One, I think it just put Obama back in the middle of the discussion as someone who is willing to say some quite interesting things. That, in turn, I think heartened his core supporters and people who were inclined to be for him, because he's been on a real sort of downslide. And I think the speech stopped that among his core supporters. What we don't know is, what did this do for the voters who haven't been going for him, in particular white working class voters in a state such as Pennsylvania, which is where the next fight is? And will this stop the incessant focus on the right story?
Matt Continetti, your take on the Obama speech.
Well, the short answer to EJ's questions is that it won't. And the reason that it won't broaden Obama's appeal to those downscale white voters who haven't been supporting him, nor will it quiet the right controversy, is because while Obama's speech was certainly probably the most eloquent articulation of the liberal position on race relations and America's tortured legacy of race relations of the past 200 years, it did not offer much new, other than perhaps his conceptualization of a white ethnic group identity that should be in solidarity with the black ethnic group identity. So what Obama offered basically was a trade, which was that we can proceed and move on in our discussions of race if the country accepts the liberal positions and public policy positions on race, such as affirmative action or such as, you know, large-scale government redistribution. I don't think that will help. Moreover, I don't think he correctly disavowed or even distanced himself, really, from Wright's comments.
Oh, well, I think he's got some points, though, for saying I have a just like I have my white grandmother, I have my black pastor. They both say things that make me cringe sometimes, but they're part of me.
I think it's very unfair to look at this as simply a statement of the liberal position on race. I mean, Obama talked a lot about personal responsibility, about family breakup, about all the things that conservatives have told liberals they ought to take into account. Barack Obama took those things into account. I think this took us well past a standard ideological account. And I think that his way of looking at white people, his direct approach to them, was quite different from what you've heard in so-called standard liberal accounts.
I mean, it's what we've seen from Obama in the past, DJ, is that he will offer rhetorical solace to conservatives by acknowledging the positions that you mentioned. But in the end, he doesn't move the public policy debate any further toward the center. It's always reflexively liberal, non-bipartisan approaches toward public policy.
One footnote to this story, Senator McCain's campaign today suspended an aide, Soren Dayton, for circulating online a link to video of Jeremiah Wright, Obama's former pastor, I gather edited together with Obama's remarks. By doing so, he violated Senator McCain's statement that his campaign was not interested, shouldn't hold Obama accountable for his minister's remarks. What do you make of this, dropping this fellow from the campaign?
Well, it's of a piece with what we saw last week when the McCain campaign inadvertently distributed the original Ron Kessler Wall Street Journal op-ed on Reverend Wright and then disavowed that.
Backed off.
And so we're going to see this throughout the campaign. At the same time, doesn't seem to be hurting McCain, not fostering these attacks, because he's now beating both Obama and Clinton in some polls.
It's a pretty good two-step. You get the bad stuff out, and then you say, oh, no, I didn't have anything to do with it. I think it's going to be a test for McCain if this sort of thing keeps happening.
In response to much clamoring, the Obama campaign was doing some of it. We saw the release of 11,000 pages of Hillary Clinton's schedules in the White House. Do we know anything more as a result?
Well, I think that I must confess I haven't read all
11,000 pages
of it. You saw the Obama campaign jump on the fact that she apparently helped President Clinton pass NAFTA, did some things in connection with NAFTA, which she had distanced herself from. There's some detail about meeting with being at an event, I guess it was, with Denise Rich, mm-hmm. Mark Rich, the famous fugitive financier, everybody loved that phrase, who was pardoned by Clinton. I think the most interesting stuff that's going to have to come out at some point are the income taxes. I think that is what's going to teach us more, if those ever come out.
Matt Cottinetti, one last item. John McCain inadvertently said more than once in his trip in the Middle East that Iran is training al-Qaeda fighters to go to Iraq, had to be corrected rather publicly. Any significance to that?
Well, McCain's statement that Iran is aiding Sunni terrorists has been treated as a gaffe in the media, but I think it isn't a gaffe. I think if you look at the 9/11 Commission, I think if you look at the Washington Post's own reporting on some things that Major General William B. Caldwell has said, there is a pattern of Iranian assistance to al-Qaeda, not just since the Iraq War began, but even in the 1990s. We can't forget that Imad Mughniyeh, the terrorist who was recently killed in Syria, was allied with the Iranians, and of course, also helped al-Qaeda when it was becoming an organization.
He was Lebanese.
He was Lebanese. Mounir.
So you think he believed it? You think he meant it when he said it?
McCain believed it, and I think the facts, under strict scrutiny, bear him out.
Matt Cottinetti, E.J. Dionne, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.